नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायण नमस्कृत्य
नारायण नमस्कृत्य
नरं चैव नरोत्तमा
नरं चैव नरोत्तमा
देवीं
सरस्वतीं व्यासं
तोजयामुदीराय
नास्तप्रायेषु पात्रेषु विद्यां भागवत सेवया
भागवतीतां
श्लोके
भक्ते
भागवति नैष्टिके
भागवतां चैव By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services on the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within the heart becomes practically destroyed almost to death, and transcendental loving service on the Lord's Lord, whose praise and transcendental hymns comes into being established as a mere work of fact. The reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, text number 4. Number 5. Did I write it on the board? Conversation by Srila Prabhupada. Shaunaka inquired about the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. There must have been many narrations of the spotless pastimes of the Lord. The hearing of such narrations is exactly like bathing in the water of the Ganges, for it can free one from all sinful reactions. Shaunaka inquired, please repeat,
Shaunaka inquired
about the conversation,
between Vaidura and Maitreya.
There must have been many narrations of the spotless pastimes of the Lord.
The hearing of such narrations
is exactly like bathing in the water of the Ganges. For it can free one from all sinful reactions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The water of the Ganges is purified because it pours forth from the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is as good as the water of the Ganges because it is spoken from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. So it is with any topic on the pastimes of the Lord or the characteristics of His transcendental activities. The Lord is absolute. There is no difference between His words, His perspiration, or His pastimes. The water of the Ganges, the narration of His pastimes, and the words spoken by Him are all on the absolute platform, and thus taking shelter of any one of them is equally good. Srila Rupa Goswami has enunciated that anything in relationship with Krishna is on the transcendental platform. If we can dovetail all our activities in relationship with Krishna, then we do not stand on the material platform, but always on the spiritual platform. Tayo sambandha to sutta pravritaye amalakata apo ghanga ibhaganir hare padam bojashraya. Shaunaka inquired about the conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. There must have been many narrations of the spotless pastimes of the Lord. The hearing of such narrations is exactly like bathing in the water of the Ganges, where it can free one from all sinful reactions. Oma gyanata marandasya Gana Gana Salakaya Chakshurun Minatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manom Vistam Chapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gata Mayam Datati Svam Matantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasana Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Shaunaka, Rishi, He is there in the assembly of the sages of, anyone know? Where is it? Not cavern, is it? Not cavern. Where is it? Huh? Naimasharanya. He's in the assembly of the great sages of Naimasharanya. We are coming from the school of Naimasharanya. Our philosophy is handed down from these great personalities. Suta Goswami, at the beginning of Kali Yuga, the great sages could understand that this age is very inauspicious. Previous to this, there was some auspiciousness. Actually, it's like an apple. If you have an apple, it's a complete thing. So in Satyayuga, there is complete consciousness. Because actually, it is described that in Satyayuga, the inhabitants of the earth planet are practically like Paramahansa. Paramahansa, they are self-realized souls. So they are very highly elevated beings. Then, after the end of Satyayuga, one quarter deterioration comes in. And then there's the introduction of the Vedas, in the sense that originally there's only one Veda. And even in the Satyayuga, there was no real... this is described by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that there wasn't really even the introduction of the varnas and ashrams. They were so elevated, very highly elevated. Then, one quarter reduced in Treta Yuga. Then, half reduced in Dwapara Yuga. And three quarters reduced in Kali Yuga. So this Kali Yuga, there's only one quarter remaining. And that one quarter is balanced on the principle of truthfulness. So, the influence of Kali Yuga is very, very powerful. And at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, the great sages of Naimasharanya are asking Suta Goswami, because Suta Goswami, how did he know about Srimad Bhagavatam? He was present at the time, yes, when Sukadeva Goswami was speaking with Parikshit Maharaj. So, in the beginning of the Bhagavad, as it says, once in the holy place in the forest of Naimasharanya, great sages headed by the sage Shonaka assembled to perform a great thousand-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. So these sages performed a very wonderful sacrifice. So the sages approached Suta Goswami, and the nature of approach to the spiritual master is to glorify the spiritual master. So they go on to say, O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives, they are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So the nature of this age is people are, first of all, they're quarrelsome. People are very quarrelsome. They'll quarrel over anything. Families quarrel, individuals quarrel, communities quarrel, nations quarrel. Even if you breathe in this age, someone will quarrel with you. So you have to be careful. As soon as you start speaking or associating with anyone, there is always quarrel, isn't it? So, therefore, this quarrelsome nature is because of the influence of Kali. Kali means the age of quarrel. And in this age, people are very low in consciousness. They are very low in consciousness. Therefore, they are very much on the bodily concept of life. Quarrel comes from the bodily concept of life. Actually, this word sudra means to lament. People who are in the bodily concept of life, they're always lamenting. I am not happy. I'm miserable. I don't have a nice place to live. I don't have a nice car, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough friends, I'm not enjoying myself enough, I'm not having a good enough time, this person wasn't nice to me, they didn't treat me nicely, they didn't speak to me, they didn't recognize how wonderful I am, they didn't recognize what an important person I am. So people become very much lamenting, always lamenting, isn't it? In your mind, you're always lamenting, aren't you? You ever thought about how much you're lamenting? Because the nature of this age is people are always lamenting. So these two characteristics are there in the material world. One is hankering and lamenting. People who are always hankering are always lamenting. The more you hanker, the more you will lament. If you don't have any hankerings, if you don't want anything, then there's nothing to lament, is it? Because you didn't get anything anyway. You see? So if you expect something, just like if you are having a feast and you expected a nice piece of curd in your sabji and you didn't get it, you start lamenting. Why did they get it and I didn't get it? Sorry, Prabhu, it's all gone. So you feel, or you didn't get your bowl of sweet rice or your cup of sweet rice. So even in petty little things we lament because we're expectant. This expectancy psychology is very important. Everyone has expectancy psychology. We want something. I deserve it. You see, the British, they're very like that. It's mine. I deserve it. Go away. So they have this, this is called actually attachment to the material concept of life. So therefore, in the Kali Yuga, people are very attached to their bodies. Very attached. They are very much under the association of bodily concept of life. And therefore they are thinking, I am British. This is my, what is it, the British man, my home is my castle, isn't it? My home is my castle. So people are very attached to the body and things related to the body. They're attached to their home, to their family, to their possessions in the house, to the cat, to the dog. So many attachments are there. So many. Attachments are very. So therefore in Kali Yuga, people are very attached. That's why they build these big buildings, skyscrapers. Because they want things to last. They want things to be remain permanent, to stay. So we see that the nature is that people want things to be permanent and they want it, most importantly, that it belongs to them. This belongs to me. This is mine. Because of attachment. Therefore, they're always lamenting. As it says in the Gita that those who are Brahma-Bhuta Pasanatma, Nasochatita Kanchati. For those who are situated on the absolute plane, there is no hankering or no lamentation. A devotee is not hankering. We do not have anything which we are expecting Krishna to serve us. We are not thinking that Krishna is our servant. A devotee rather is hankering to serve Krishna. That is a different thing. We do have hankering. But we are always hankering how to please Krishna. Let me find a way which I can please Krishna. Unless that hankering is there, there will be lamentation. Because in the material world, if you're not hankering for Krishna, you will be hankering after Maya. Because the nature of the living entity is always to be attached. We have to be attached because we're very tiny. We have reference, just like in the material world, everything is based upon reference. This is called relativity, in relationship to my body, with reference to my body, I have certain attachments. So, because we are very tiny, we have association. That association is a certain reference point. In other words, my identity is based upon my body, because that's all I have reference to, isn't it? I only have my body to think about. I'm situated in my body, and therefore, in the lower species, the bodily attachment is very, very strong. But as consciousness becomes expanded, in the human form of life, there is what we call broadness. We try to broaden that reference so that we're not just attached to our bodies. We're attached to our family. We're attached to our society. We are attached to our country, nationalism. We are attached to even sometimes global. A global, just like people are thinking sometimes in a global way. And sometimes even people are thinking in an interplanetary way, cosmic. So, consciousness, according to identification, has a reference point. So human form of life means to broaden the consciousness. And that is why the sages are pointing out that in Kali Yuga, people are very narrow-minded, actually. Even though it appears that they have some higher levels of consciousness, but it's all related to the body. Just like everything you see that they are creating, it's all related to the body. They want a nice car, nice house, nice facilities, they want to have good health, they want to have very strong kind of entertainment, very powerful entertainment, they want to really get into sound. If you see, all the sense gratificatory things like sound, they have such sophisticated sound, digital sound, this sound, that sound, they want to have very nice theaters, cinemas, so many developments. But unfortunately, if we study them all, they're all rooted in the bodily concept of life. Therefore, people in this age, they are always lamenting, because as soon as you try to satisfy the body, you will always be feeling frustration. Frustration. Because the body is actually not anything to do with consciousness. Consciousness is associated with the body in the same way that at night time when you're dreaming, sometimes you dream that you're flying in the sky. You think you're a bird. So by association, you may be acting like a bird. Sometimes when you're sleeping, you are thinking you're a racing driver, or you're thinking this, you're thinking that. So many things may come into your mind when you're dreaming. And by association, sometimes you actually, even when you're in deep sleep and you have a dream, sometimes someone is attacking you and you wake up, oh, you're going like that, you're trying to defend yourself, isn't it? But actually no one's in the room, there's only you in the room, but you are trying to defend yourself. So by association with the mind, the physical comes into existence. So this is the understanding that the living entity, by association with his mind, and contaminated consciousness, perverted intellect, then he is falsely identifying with the body. Just like now in this country, everyone is lamenting because of Princess Diana. She left her body. Her body is still there, but Princess Diana is not there. So even though her body was considered to be very wonderful, a princess, so wealthy, the mother of the future king or whatever. But now, she's gone. Nobody knows where she's gone. Now, the thing that people knew, that's left behind. They knew her body, isn't it? So that thing she's left behind. But she herself has moved on. So we can understand by the wonderful laws of nature, the living entity takes on a certain type of body. Sometimes he's a king or a princess or a politician or famous this or that or whatever. Whether one is a pauper or a bum or whatever he is, he still, it's by association. Sometimes that association is good, sometimes it's mediocre, and sometimes it's bad, according to the qualities of material nature. So in Kali Yuga, people are quarrelsome, they're also very lazy. In this age, people are very lazy, they're sleepy. People like to sleep a lot. They don't like to get up. Have you noticed? Very hard to get up from Mangalati, isn't it? Because we like to sleep. In Kali Yuga, sleeping is considered to be enjoyable. In other ages, it was considered disgusting. Because sleeping, you waste your life. You waste it. There's no gain. Actually, in your lifetime, The average person, they sleep about 10 hours a night. Of course, we try to reduce it to 6, but even some devotees manage to get 10. But we try to reduce it to 6, because if you took 10 years each day out of your life, that only leaves you 14 hours, isn't it? Now, that, to some people, they can even go as far as 12 hours, which is half the day. But 10 is nearly half the day. That means half your life, you're unconscious, practically. When you're asleep, there's no gain whatsoever, materially or spiritually. All you're doing is you're lying there fantasizing in your mind about all sorts of useless things. And sometimes you don't remember them, sometimes you do remember them, but they are all very insignificant. And there's no gain. You don't wake up wealthier, you don't wake up in a better position. So this tendency to sleep is because one is too much absorbed in bodily concept of life. That's why generally, as one advances, the sleeping should become reduced. And that laziness is because people, they're controlled by their body. They're not in control of their body. You see, the whole Paramahansa platform is to control the body. Soul is much more powerful than matter. There's no comparison. Matter is a dead, inanimate substance. And the soul is a dynamic life, full of energy. The soul is dynamic. Matter is not dynamic. There's nothing dynamic about a rock, is there? If I bring you a big rock in the room, what is dynamic? Whereas a little ant, he can run around, he can do something. He can capture a little piece of rice and carry it around, isn't it? There's something dynamic. So, matter does not have intuition. It does not have what we call the power to do anything. Consciousness has intuition. It has individual capacity. So therefore, the more you associate with matter, the more you become dull. The nature of material consciousness is one is very dull, dull-headed. So people in Kali Yuga are very dull. You can go and see how dull they are becoming, day by day, more and more dull-headed. The dull-headed means sleepy, lazy, mental, always wanting to remain on the mental platform of life, simply fantasizing. Most people are asleep during the day, and they're just more asleep at night. That's the only difference. They're half asleep during the day, and they're more asleep at night. Because it means, sleep means associating with the material platform. And therefore people are very lazy. Because matter itself is lazy, isn't it? Just like this harmonium, it hasn't done anything. Yesterday it didn't do anything, did it? Day before it didn't do anything. Only if someone engages the harmonium does it do anything. Otherwise it will sit there. And some devotees are like that also. They'll sit there until you have to engage them. Excuse me, Prabhu, could you do something? And they go, their back almost come to life. You want me to do something? Oh. Because they become like the harmonium. Unless you utilize it, it's dead. So that is called the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance when the consciousness is very dull and dead. So, the Kapila Muni, he is explaining to his mother the symptoms, and the characteristics of spirit and matter. That is the whole philosophy of Sankhya Yoga. So it says, Devahuti continue, my dear Lord, please also describe in detail, both for me and for people in general, the continual progress of birth and death, for by hearing of such calamities we may become detached from the activities of the material world. So the beginning of spiritual life is to hear about the difference between matter and spirit. So here, Devahuti is asking Kapila Dev various questions. Lord Kapila, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, replied, O noble lady, there are multifarious parts of devotional service in terms of the different qualities of the executor. So, devotional service is not just one thing. It's not when you become a devotee, that's it, one thing. There are different qualities of devotional service. There's devotional service in the mode of ignorance. You understand? There's devotional service in the mode of passion. And there's devotional service in the mode of ignorance. If you are in the mode of ignorance, you perform devotional service in the mode of ignorance. If you are in the mode of passion, you perform devotional service in the mode of passion. And if you're in the mode of goodness, you perform devotional service in the mode of goodness. And if you're transcendental, you perform devotional service on the transcendental platform. It is not just because you become a devotee that automatically your devotional service is pure. Because it's not cheap like that. It's not just like you simply... But all devotional service is recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeyam mam prapadyante. As they surrender to me, I reciprocate. Isn't it, Radha? I reciprocate with their surrender. If they surrender. So that surrender unto Krishna is very, very important. And here, Lokapila explains that there's different qualities of devotional service according to how one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent and angry, and who is a separatist is considered to be in the mode of darkness. You see? So this quality, now it sounds amazing how someone can be envious, proud, violent and angry and still be a devotee. But that is there because one is situated in the mode of ignorance. So devotees are also susceptible to the material contamination because we have been in the material world since time immemorial. For millions upon millions upon millions of births, we've been here. And we've been cockroaches, rats, snakes, we've been all sorts of things. So it doesn't go away. It's stored there in the subtle body of the living entity. All these billions and billions of lives of association are there. So therefore, that is why it is very difficult to get out of the material energy. So here, Kapila Muni is saying that some devotees, they're very envious of each other. And they're very proud. They think that I'm very important. I'm a very important devotee, Prabhu. Very important. You're lucky to have my association. Do you know that? So this is the way pride is there. In devotional service, here, Prabhupada explains in the purport, in pure devotional service, the only motive should be to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Prabhupada said, that is actually not a motive. It's not actually a motive. That is the pure condition of the living entity. The pure condition of the living entity is to please Krishna. That's his only eternal. That is the Sanatana Dharma. That is the eternal function of the living entity, is to please Krishna. The living entity has no other goal eternally. But on association with matter, that pure desire becomes contaminated by association. Therefore, that's why it says, one who is a separatist. That separatist mentality means that I have some separate agenda from Krishna. So, when one in the conditional stage, when one engages in devotional service, he should follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master in full surrender. The spiritual master is the manifested representative of the Supreme Lord because he receives and presents the instructions of the Lord as they are in the cyclic succession. So that is why it's very, very important to take shelter of the spiritual master, because otherwise one will not be able to understand what is the desire of Krishna. The pure spiritual master is one who is surrendered to the desire of Krishna. But if one has a motive for personal sense gratification, his devotional service is manifested differently. Such a man may be violent, proud, envious and angry, and his interests are separate from the Lord's. So, therefore, one should make discrimination. That if a devotee is very proud, arrogant, conceited, self-conceited, and argumentative, and always has some separate agenda, then he is in the mode of ignorance. Even though he's a devotee and he's doing devotional service, he's in the mode of ignorance. Kapila goes on to explain, the worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame and opulence is devotion in the mode of passion. And Prabhupada explains, the word separatist must be understood carefully. The Sanskrit word in this connection are Vinadrik and Pritag Bhava. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees, or devotees in the mode of passion and ignorance, think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotees. They see Krishna as a supplier, that Krishna should render some nice service to me because I'm a devotee. Therefore, they have so many individual desires. And the reason I'm bringing these issues up is because here you can understand when the pure devotees get together, what is their occupation? To glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their only business is to glorify Krishna, to glorify Krishna's activities. They also try to analyze what Krishna requires, what Krishna wants from his devotees. So therefore, the separatist type of mentality is that a devotee has some desire to extract something from Krishna, to get some service, to get some sort of reward, remuneration from Krishna. Therefore, that is motivated devotional service. This is the separatist mentality. Actually, pure devotion is explained in the previous chapter. The mind of the Supreme Lord and the mind of the devotee should be dovetailed. There's no difference between the mind of Krishna and the mind of a pure devotee. Because the pure devotee, just as there's no difference between the molecule of sunshine and the sun planet. This achintya beta abeda tapa, simultaneously one and different. Variegatedness is there in the devotee. There are so many variegated desires to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the desire are one because actually in the pure platform, one is completely at one, if you like, with Krishna's desire. So therefore, a devotee has no separate interest from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because one has no separate interest from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore a pure devotee is never separated from the Lord. He's never separated. The thing that separates us from Krishna is separate interest. Because we have separate interests. We have some of our own personal agenda. And that is why we come into the material world. The material world is the playground for the rebellious, independent living entity to try to fulfill his aspirations in the material world. So that's why you find that everyone's got different interests. Isn't it? Everybody's got different interests in the material world because they've all got their own agenda to fulfill. Someone wants this, someone wants that. And you'll find that even amongst devotees, if there is some separatist mentality, then there will be quarrel. Because that is the nature of Kali Yuga. Everyone has separate agenda, separate interests. So there's no harmony. There's quarrel. I want something, you want the same thing, so we'll quarrel. Isn't it? We will quarrel because you have what I want or I have what you want. And therefore there's some quarrel. Just like if someone doesn't give us the curd sabji, we don't get a piece of curd. Sometimes the devotee says, why did you get it all? Who are you? You take it all? You took all the curd? I didn't get any. Then the other devotee says, don't be puffed up, you. I got it before you. Be humble. So some argument will come. So in the same way, maybe a little piece of curd, or maybe this, or maybe that. As long as there is so many different desires. And that proves the living entity is variegated, individual, because everyone has individual desires. In the animal kingdom, this is also prominent. One time I was going around Govardhan, and I had some chapati. I gave it to some dogs. And they were so busy fighting each other that no one got the chapati. Because every time someone would go for the chapati, the other one would bite him. And then as soon as he'd go to bite him, his friend would come and bite him, another one would bite. So they were all trying to get these chapatis. But they were so busy quarreling that in the end, by the time they did get it, they were probably in such anxiety they didn't even enjoy it. Lucky it was prasadam. But the point is that you can see the nature is that in the material world, everyone is in anxiety because they're thinking that only by my arrangement everything is going on. Because I made some arrangement. Therefore, they're always in anxiety because we are very weak. We are very tiny. Our arrangement is very finite. Krishna's arrangement is infinite. That's why in the Vaikuntha there is no anxiety because everything is infinite. You understand? Infinite arrangement. Here we make a little arrangement, just like I might say, okay, I'm going to have a good time, I'm going to go into town, I'll watch the theater, I'll go for a drink, I'll do this, I'll do that. So many arrangements. I'll meet my girlfriend at 8 o'clock, we'll do this, that, that, that. Then so many things go wrong because it's very finite, very limited arrangement. Sometimes you get the wrong time and the show's useless, or you get a quarrel, you go to a restaurant, you choke on what they give you because it's rubbish or whatever. So many things go wrong. By the end of the evening, both are quarreling with each other. Why did you go there? I didn't want to go there. Well, you always go where you want to go. I wanted to go there. I'm fed up with you. You always want to. Yeah. Fine. Isn't it? Because it's a limited arrangement. Because we are very tiny. So any arrangement we make is very tiny. The world is infinite. Actually, the material universe is, in our estimation, practically infinite. So we are living in a big place, making a very little arrangement. And material energy has made its arrangement because you are part of Maya's arrangement. You understand? You think that you're doing the arranging, but Maya is arranging through you. You are the servant of Maya, therefore actually you are being conducted by the material energy. Prakriti kriyamanani. According to Prakriti, the activities are going on. So sometimes people, of course, we think we are making an arrangement, but actually our arrangement is, in the material world, we're trying to be separate from Krishna. The separatist mentality. So spiritually, Krishna is doing all the arranging, even though sometimes we may not understand how Krishna is arranging. As devotees, we may not understand. Why is Krishna putting me into this difficulty, isn't it? Krishna should serve me better. He's not doing a very nice service. I'm going to go and tell him off on the altar. Why did you make this arrangement for me? Don't you know I prefer nicer things? But that is not the mentality of a devotee. The mentality of a devotee is whatever Krishna wants, he accepts. Because he's a devotee. That means that he is at the mercy of Krishna. As Lord Chaitanya said, that you may make me brokenhearted, you may treat me unkindly or rough. You may do so many things which I don't want. But you will always remain my worshipable Lord, unconditionally. There's no premeditated idea that Krishna, just like sometimes we may think, oh Krishna, you know, I did so many things for you now, you have to do something for me. Yesterday I washed the dishes and I worked this and I did this, that now. What have you got for me today? Something good? Let me hear. Like this. This is not a barter, business arrangement, that you do 1 week's work and you get your salary. When you're serving Krishna, then the devotee's mentality is whatever Krishna wants, that thing I must search out and get for Krishna. So, therefore, Maitreya Muni, Vidura, when they are conversing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are first of all conversing on the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Because these pastimes in Kali Yuga, this Srimad Bhagavatam, is so important because it is the only thing that can remove the contaminated association of this age. Because the mind in this age is so contaminated by powerful influence of material energy. Kali Yuga, the matter is very, very powerful. And therefore people are very, very much absorbed in the mode of ignorances and passion. predominantly the mode of ignorance and passion is there. And therefore, it is very difficult, just like if you're in the ocean and you're trying to swim and you're holding on to the tail of a puppy. Suppose you're in the Atlantic and you fell off a boat. Sometimes the boats go very fast. You could fall off. But you saw a little puppy floating there, so you caught hold of its tail. You want to cross the ocean by holding on to the tail of a puppy. You won't get very far, will you? The puppy is a tiny thing, and you are a very weak swimmer in a big ocean. Even if you're a strong swimmer, you become weak because the ocean is very, very strong. So in the Kali Yuga, everyone is trying to cross over the material energy by catching hold of their mental speculations. Mental speculations means like the tail of the puppy. Someone's thinking, I'll do it this way, I'll do it that way, I'll make this arrangement, I'll make that arrangement, so many things they're making. But actually, the great Muni, the great sage, Maitreya, is explaining to Vidura, for the benefit of all the sages in the forest of Naimisharanya, Suta Goswami is reciting this conversation because the essence, as it says here, that just like in the material world, the Ganga is considered very important. In India, if you go to India, the Ganga is very, very important because by association with the Ganga, Mother Ganges, one becomes purified of sinful reaction. But that is only by prolonged association, because the nature of the Ganga is that by association with it, one can gradually clean the heart. The Ganges is floating from the feet of Lord Vishnu. It has touched the feet of Vishnu, therefore it's considered sacred. And actually, I read a scientific document on the Ganga, that scientists, they put all sorts of natural atmosphere. But when they put it in Ganges water, it killed the cholera germ. So powerful, so prophylactic. And they put all sorts of diseases. And also Ganga water, you can leave it lying around for long, months and months and months, and it's still 100% pure. It doesn't, even if it's in a stagnant situation, it doesn't contaminate. So Ganga is very, very powerful. But one requires prolonged association. Whereas the Bhagavad Gita, as it says here, Bhagavad Gita is as good as the water of the Ganges because it's spoken from the mouth of the Supreme Lord. So that thing which is coming from the feet of the Lord, the Ganga is touching the feet. The Gita is coming from the mouth of the Lord. And so, it is with any topic on the pastimes of the Lord or the characteristics of His transcendental activities. The Lord is absolute. There is no difference between His word, His perspiration, or His pastimes. So these things are association with the absolute truth. Therefore, this is a science. Krishna consciousness is a science. If you associate with Krishna, you will become purified. And we can put that science into action. Any devotee here who stops chanting his rounds, stops associating with the Bhagavatam or the Gita for a very long period of time, will again become contaminated and will become a demon. Your mind will become demonic. If you stop chanting your rounds or you don't do your rounds, you start thinking about having illicit sex. You'll think about going for some sort of sense gratification, intoxication, or you want to go popping down the disco or something. Something will come in the mind. Because we see that when devotees stop chanting the rounds, they do all these things. If you want to go and meet, there's so many devotees you can meet who stop chanting the rounds. And you will find them in pubs and clubs and in all sorts of horrible conditions. And they will not be able to maintain the four regulate principles. It is impossible. There's no devotee who doesn't chant rounds and follow sadhana bhakti that practically maintains any kind of adherence to the regulative principles, because it is practically insurmountable. So we have practical example of that. So in science, there is theory, but there is also practical experimentation and demonstration, isn't it? So we are practical. The philosophy is there. Anyone who chants Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, can actually become free from the four sinful activities of Kali Yuga, which are intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and illicit sex. But as soon as you stop chanting your rounds, you will not be able to stop these things. You will again be puffing on cigarettes, even though you heard so many things about it. Even though you read chapters and chapters about it, you can very quickly go back to these things. It has been seen, practically. So therefore, we have practical experience. By associating with the Absolute, one can become situated on the Absolute platform. So therefore, the only thing required is association. You must associate with Krishna's pastimes. You must associate with Krishna philosophy. You must associate, even when you don't feel like it. When your mind wants to put on television or listen to the radio or gossip or talk about this, that, the other, you have to fix your mind. You have to become, because you want that association. Therefore, according to how much you want to become purified, to that degree you will associate. So if you don't associate with the Bhagavatam, it's because you don't want to become purified. You haven't got sincere interest. But what we do as devotees, we don't do these things and then we say, why am I Maya? This process doesn't work. What they call sour grapes, isn't it? The grapes are sour. We don't follow the process, but we want the result. That is called cheating. Cheating propensity. So everybody wants to be a cheater. They don't read the Gita, they don't chant the rounds, they don't properly follow sadhana bhakti, they don't follow the shastras, they don't absorb their mind in the Krishna's lila, but they want the result. Why am I not a pure devotee? I've been here 2 years now. I'm a long time in the movement. I should be an absolutely pure devotee. But the point is that according to how one is determined, so one has to be determined to get that higher association. Otherwise, one will be left on the lower association, which is the three modes of material nature, particularly the mode of passion and ignorance. So if one is not very diligent and determined, then he'll become fixed up in this wrong mode. When one becomes full of all sorts of contamination, even in one's devotional service, one cannot be complacent or lax. One has to be very determined. Very determined. Utsahan. One has to be very enthusiastic. So, therefore, Maitreya Muni is giving us this transcendental association by reciting the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. Therefore, we should absorb our mind in these things in order to get full benefit of this transcendental association. So, therefore, the Supreme Personality of God, it has descended in sound incarnation. Previously Krishna was here in his personal form. We were not so fortunate to be there. None of us were there. Were you there when Krishna came? We were not so fortunate. But by his transcendental potency, the Lord, even though he left in the sense that he went back to the spiritual world, he left behind this transcendental sound of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun because it has risen just after the departure of Lord Krishna for his own abode. Now when Lord went back, he was followed by religiosity, so many other things, because Krishna is the personification of Dharma. But those who are desirous of getting deliverance in the sage of Kali, they should become very serious about catching hold of the transcendental sound of Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes of Krishna, the Leela and the philosophy of the Bhagavad school. So these sages of Naimisharanya have done untold good, unlimited good for the benefit of the inhabitants of this particular planet in this particular age. And those who are sufficiently intelligent, they will take heed of this and actually become very serious to study this Bhagavad philosophy and to become a devotee. Otherwise, if one does not follow according to the strict principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, then one will start to concoct, and then there will be contamination of passion and ignorance and so many other things. So one has to be very careful, because these modes are very, very powerful. Now, is there any questions at all? Anybody have any questions on these points?
Before performing devotional service, like being moved to a bad passion or ignorance, do we become elevated from...
Yes, because it's devotional service. See, in the beginning, there may be so many contaminations, but because one is engaged in Krishna's service, then gradually one will become purified. But at the same time, it is like if you take a bath in a river, you will become clean. But if you jump in the mud, so you get out of the water, jump in the mud, then you have to go back in the water, jump in the mud, out like the elephant. The elephant goes down and he bathes in the river, but then he rolls in the dust afterwards. So one may engage himself in devotional service, and of course that activity is purifying, but if he's constantly associating with his false ego, and the dirty things are constantly being entertained by him and accommodated by him, then devotion, progress will be slow. You see? So depending on one's determination of association, everything is dependent on association. So if one is determined to associate with Krishna 24 hours a day, then very quickly he will progress. But if one is having association with Krishna, but also maintaining so many associations with the material world and the false ego, that's why in the beginning, devotional service is done under the principle of discipline. You have to discipline the mind. That's why we get up in the morning, follow the morning program, because we're disciplining our mind to engage our mind in higher association. Therefore we chant, we read, we hear. Most of our activities are hearing and chanting. Then our service is there. We engage our body, our physical nature in its service. And in that way, one becomes fixed up on the spiritual platform. But if one is not so determined and then wants to, what we call, play in the material world as well. In other words, one wants to have his cake and eat it, as they say in the material world. One wants the results of Krishna consciousness without the performance of Krishna consciousness. That will not be possible. One has to actually follow the process according to Guru, Shastra and Sadhana. That's why one requires a spiritual master. Because by following the direction of the spiritual master, then one becomes situated on the same plane, the absolute plane. That's why it says in the Gita, Tattva Darshan, that the spiritual master is one who is situated on the platform of Tattva Darshan, who has seen the truth. Because he has seen the truth, he's situated in the truth. Therefore, by you following the spiritual master, you also become situated in the truth. Prabhupada gives an example. Suppose you're cycling along on the road, and you're not going very fast up a hill, but then you grab hold of the bus. You know, in London they have these buses with poles. You can grab hold of the bus, and you see sometimes cyclists going very fast because the bus is going fast. They're just holding on. Doesn't require even pedaling anymore. They just hold on. So if one catches hold of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada, and firmly holds on, then because Prabhupada is there, one automatically can get situated on that plane. But even if one is performing devotional service, in any condition it is purifying. The purification is there because one is engaged in Krishna service. But depending on one's determination, just like if you join a company, suppose you join a company that makes china plates, and in the beginning you keep dropping them. Well, they tolerate it because you haven't learned how to properly function. But in the higher, those who are more advanced in the china factory, they don't drop so many, isn't it? Because they're more experienced. But the first guy, he's always, oh, God. But if you drop too many, then they say, out. Because there's a point where if you keep dropping them, there's no production. So similarly, one may be in the mode of ignorance or passion, but if one is constantly indulging in that, then obviously one becomes very weak. Your position becomes weak. So if one is making mistakes here, there, okay, but then you can't keep on like that. You have to go for improvement. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuranam Ki Jai. I was wondering if this is kind of signal to each other. It's really flat. It's reciprocated.